Morning. Always a good morning, but especially nice today with the sun shining and spring seems to finally be here. So it's a blessing. As Brother Neil told me we were talking about, every day is a fine day, though, isn't it? Yeah? And it's true. It is. Every day is a blessing. We need to remember that because it is. We will be in the chapter that we looked at today, or read, that Brother Tim read today, Song of Solomon chapter 4. The name of the message is The Church, a Garden. The Church, a Garden. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12 is where our text will be. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. A garden enclosed is my sister. My spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain. Here we have a picture, three wonderful pictures actually of the Church of God. She is a garden enclosed, a spring shut up, and a fountain sealed. Now, this is a time of year when a lot of folks plant gardens and do a lot of gardening and stuff. I must profess that I'm not a very good gardener. I don't do a lot of gardening. I enjoy the fruits of the labors of other folks when I go and buy the vegetables and stuff, but I am not a very good gardener. But there's some who are really good at it. And remember also, there's all different types of gardens, right? There's gardens where folks grow vegetables, and there's also gardens like the gardens kings used to have, where they would walk through these gardens, and they were enclosed. They were enclosed gardens. They were strictly for the king and for his family, and they were usually enclosed off to everyone, and they had trees and different things and flowers and all kinds of things. But they were tended and cared for in an enclosed garden. But here we have a picture. It says, a garden enclosed is my sister. So the church is a garden, pictured as a garden, but a garden enclosed, and garden enclosed. And as I said, some of us have enjoyed working on a garden, and we've all of us have enjoyed the fruits of a garden. But here before us, we have a garden enclosed. And this gives us a picture. And I hope and pray that by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that He will illuminate the Scriptures for us, and that we can glean about how this is a picture of who we are, and the bride of Christ is a garden enclosed. A garden enclosed. And He cares for this garden. And He watches over this garden. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5. Now, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is made up of many different people. Many different people. From many different places. It's made up from those from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. But we must remember that they're all one in Christ. One in Christ. And you notice it speaks singularly in the text too. A garden. Single. It's a garden. One garden. It's a garden. Look at Revelation 5 verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. So He's worthy to receive all the praise and all the honor and to open the book. For He was slain. Christ was slain. He was slain for His people. He died in the room and place of sinners, like Calvary's tree. And has redeemed us. He purchased us. He purchased those people. He purchased His bride to God by Thy blood, with His own precious blood. Look at this, though. Out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and has made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So the body of Christ is comprised of those from every kindred, tongue, nation, but they're one in Christ. Think of this, a garden is made up of all different plants, right? All different plants, but it's one garden. It's one garden. Now, a garden that is enclosed is fenced off. It's protected. And the church is sometimes called a garden because it shows that we're one. We're one in Christ. We're one in Him. And as I said in the text, it says we're enclosed. We're closed off. Now, believers are scattered all over the world, aren't they? But the church of Christ is one body. One body. One people. One in Christ. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 9. And here's some things to marvel at about the garden, about the church. Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 9. My dove, my undefiled is but one. We're just one. One body. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. So my dove, the bride, is one. But look at some things to marvel at here. My undefiled. Oh, God's bride is undefiled. And we're sinners saved by grace, but Scripture declares we're undefiled. Spotless. Blameless. But only in Christ. And it says, my dove, my undefiled is but one. One. We're one in Christ. Christ's love is set upon His bride. Set upon His bride. And no one else. And she is to Him fair and lovely and undefiled. Undefiled. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And we who believe are the body, both Jews and Gentiles. And we'll ultimately be bought into one fold. You notice the one garden, one fold, one body. John chapter 10, verse 16 says this, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Now notice the text there. They shall hear my voice. It's not a doubt. They will. Oh, God's people will hear the voice of the shepherd. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Just one. And all true believers, turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 4. All true believers have one faith. One faith. Just one. What does that say about all these other religions in the world? They're all false. There's only one faith, beloved. Only one. One hope, one spirit, one heart. And we're all united in our glorious head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're members of His body and of His flesh and His bones. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And then put your finger in Ephesians 5 too, since you're right there. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. We have one hope in our calling, and that's Christ alone. We don't have hope anywhere else but Him. One Lord. There's only one Lord. One, Jesus Christ. No other. There's salvation in only Him. Nowhere else. Not Mary. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, nowhere else. Only in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then look at this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. The body of Christ is comprised of believers. There's only one body. And the body is most blessed because He's the head. He's the head. To whom the whole body is united. And He supplies all. He justifies all. He's redeemed all. He's all our life. He's all our strength. Well, like Paul said, He's all in all for the believer. He's everything. He's everything to us. And Tim brought out in verse 15 of our chapter in Song of Solomon, go back there to chapter 4, verse 15, the redeemed sing and know this in verse 15, because look what we say. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 15. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. He's a well of living waters for us. The church sees Jesus Christ as the source of life and faithfulness. And we're blessed. We're blessed in Him. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ, nowhere else. So let's look at some things we can learn from a garden. And hopefully this year when those of you are gardening, because I won't probably be gardening a whole lot, but those of you who do, maybe this will be a good reminder, you know. So back to our text again. The picture before us is a garden enclosed. It says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now this garden, in all gardens, are predetermined by the gardener, right? He predetermines, well, I want to have a garden this year, right? Or they pick out a patch of land. But this garden spoken of here, as in all gardens, did not bring itself into existence. A garden can't bring itself into existence. No way can we save ourselves either. We must be saved by Christ. No matter how much a person stares at a patch of their lawn, it will never transform itself into a garden. It won't. The land must be prepared. Must be prepared. And this is all planned by the gardener. He plans it all out before he even starts on it. Remember my dad, he used to put stakes in the ground and put them white strings there, and we as kids would run and fall over them, but that's what he did. He staked out exactly where he wanted the garden to be. And he had it all staked out and planned, and then he was prepared to turn that ground into a garden. So the land must be prepared, and it's planned by a gardener. Listen to this in Romans, chapter 9, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of the glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Oh, what a picture. What a picture. A gardener will plan his garden. He plans what he wants to plant. He plans how big it is. And this is all predetermined by the gardener, right? The gardener predetermines it all. The garden would never exist had not the gardener planned it. Would never exist. And unless the gardener took the initiative to bring it into existence, it would never be either. Beloved, we would never be saved unless God had planned and purposed to save us. Oh, the church of old in eternity was predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He determines and predetermines the garden. Our text says, a garden enclosed is my sister. Think of this, a garden is made up of those plants chosen by the gardener. Garden is made up of those plants chosen by the gardener. He decides what he wants to plant and where he wants to plant it. It's all of his choosing. Whatever he pleases. So with each type of plant, whatever plant I choose to put in the garden, it'll be there. I don't want a certain plant in there, it won't be in there. Well, turn if you would to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. So it is with the church of Christ. And it's all according to His good pleasure. It's all according to God's pleasure. He can do whatever He pleases. He's God. He's the sovereign of the universe. And He has sovereignty to do whatever He pleases. So a gardener has sovereign. He's sovereign over his garden to do whatever He pleases. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. According as He has chosen us in Him. God has chosen the people. Now some folks say, well, that's not fair. We don't want fair. Fair would be we all go to hell. And we don't want that. But God in His mercy and His grace, Scripture declares, chose a people. According as He has chosen us in Him, in Christ. Right? Remember in Sunday school we looked at, if you take Christ out of any of these Scriptures, there's nothing there. According as He has chosen us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy. Sinners made holy. We can't make ourselves holy. Folks often accuse us who believe, well, you guys think you're holier now. No, we don't. Not at all. We're sinners. We can't even make ourselves holy. We can't. Oh, my. But God can make us holy, and He has in Christ. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How do you stand in front of God? We must be justified by Christ, right? He's perfect. We need a perfect righteousness. We have that in Christ. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now remember the gardener, he can do whatever he pleases, right? Well, so can God. Even more so, because He's God. Scripture declares, according to the good pleasure of His will, it pleased God to choose a people. And a garden is made up of plants chosen by a gardener. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, is a chosen people. And God has chosen to save whomever He will. And He has that right to do that. And we who are saved just say, oh Lord, thank You. What mercy You've had upon us. Because we know we never would have chosen Him, left to ourselves. And it's all according to the good pleasure of His will. Look at our text again. A garden enclosed is my sister. My spouse a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Now think of this. A garden is the property of some owner. A garden is the property of some owner. The property and the plants chosen by the gardener are His possessions. He owns them. He owns them. And the plants chosen by the gardener, when you go to make a garden, you go to the nursery and you choose which plants you want, right? And you purchase them. Oh, what a picture. Grocery shopping's never the same again after Tom Harden told me the illustration of we plan what we want to buy. We go to the store, we pick it out. Then we purchase it, redeem it, and then we take it home. The garden, the gardener, he chooses which plants he wants and then he purchases them. He purchases them. So it is with the church of Christ, beloved. It's made up of those chosen by the Father in eternity, who are given to Christ Jesus our Lord. And then He redeems us, doesn't He? He purchases us with His own precious blood. And the Holy Ghost, oh, He regenerates us. And we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. But in Acts 20:28, it says this, the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So a gardener purchases the plants. We are purchased by Christ. He's purchased His people. He's redeemed his people, and he did it with his own precious blood. Oh, what a great God we have in Christ. Look at it also in our text again. It says, a garden enclosed is my sister. Now this garden is enclosed. You know why? For its own protection. For its own protection. Oh, what a picture, eh? What would we be left to ourselves? Oh my, I don't even want to think about it. But it's enclosed to prevent animals from entering into it and people from trampling upon the garden. And some gardeners, they put edging around flower beds, right? And some gardeners put whole fences around their gardens. Oftentimes when it's a garden of trees and stuff that you walk through, it's fenced off. Well, this garden specifically in our text is enclosed. It's an enclosed garden. So it is with the Church of Christ, beloved. We are enclosed for protection. We're encompassed about with the power of God. And we're protected by Him. We're protected by Him. Oh, the church is a garden enclosed, separated too. We're separated. Fenced in. And so the church stands in the midst of the wilderness of this world, closed in. Closed in. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have. We are gathered in by sovereign grace and enclosed where the gardener can watch over us and protect us and take care of us. Is that not what our great King does? He protects us and takes care of us. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 5. Or chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Oh, we are fenced in, beloved. Fenced in from the wilderness of this world. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it in. And he fenced it. And gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. Oh, we are a garden enclosed, beloved. Protected. Protected. A garden enclosed, back to our text, is my sister. A garden enclosed. Now a garden is distinguished from other ground as it is prepared ground. It's prepared ground. Luke chapter 8 says this, and so it is. So it is with the church of God. Now that ground, that the ground is distinguished from other ground, it's prepared ground, and nothing grows there except the plants which the gardener chooses, right? So it's prepared ground to receive the plants of his choosing. And it's closed in. Now what makes that ground, before we get into Luke, what makes that ground different from another patch of ground? Well, the gardener prepared it, didn't he? It's prepared ground of his choosing. Of his choosing. The ground can't make itself to differ. No more can we, beloved, who are saved, make ourselves to differ from our family members. It's only by the grace of God in Christ. Only in Him. That's why we give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Because He's done it all. Luke 8 says this, Luke 8:8, and other fell on good ground. Prepared ground. You remember the parable and all the different grounds? Well, one fell on good ground. What? And sprang up. Oh, does not the word of God go forth with power and saves one and passes by another? Because there's good ground prepared by the gardener. Oh, distinguishing, God's distinguishing, marvelous grace. and it springs up and what? And bear fruit and hundredfold. And it's all by the gardener's doing. He takes care of it. He waters it. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This good ground is ground prepared." And what a picture also of prevenient grace. Grace before grace. That's why I say we don't know who God's elect are. We preach. We for grace preachers, we preach the gospel and let God do the saving. He prepares the ground to receive the seed. And he does the saving and the regenerating, and he gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And when that person's saved, it was that person's exact time to be saved. That's why God gets all the glory. Preachers are just instruments. We just, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's why we say, look to Christ. Don't give us any glory. Look to him. He gets all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, because he does it all. He does it all. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Speaking of this good ground. Prepared ground to receive the Word of God. To receive the good news that Christ died for sinners. Oh, look at this in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Now we know there was multiple people here. Acts chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And on the Sabbath day, and this speaks of grace going before grace and preparing our hearts to receive Christ. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a river side where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. So Paul's going there and he's going to preach, speak to these women. And a certain woman named Lydia, now here's God's distinguishing grace, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. She heard, right? She heard the gospel. Whose heart the Lord opened. There it is. And she attended unto all things which were spoken of Paul. She believed. But what does it say? Whose heart the Lord opened. He did it all. That was prepared ground to receive the Word. He's the Savior of sinners. Now, what made her to differ from the other woman? God's grace. That's all. She had nothing to boast in. She didn't make a decision and run to Paul. Doesn't say that, does it? That's what I used to believe. But Scripture doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that. It says the Lord opened her heart. He's the one who does the work. He's the one who makes the scales to fall off our eyes, and we see him and we go, "Oh Lord God, I'm such a sinner and you're so merciful. God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And God has mercy on his people. Oh, the Lord opened her heart, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended on it. She believed. She believed. And so it is with the church of God. God's people are plants planted in the garden of the Lord. And the garden is prepared. Prepared. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. Anything not put in there by God is rooted out, like weeds and such. He roots them all out. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou," verse 12 and 13, "knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Not as plants. Let's go back to Song of Solomon, verse 12 in chapter 4 again. "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed." The next point is this garden is highly esteemed by the gardener. Highly esteemed by the gardener. He cherishes the garden. He cherishes the garden. He cherishes the plants because he's purchased them. He chose them and he purchased them. Oh, so is it not with the Church of Christ? Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. The saints are cherished because they were redeemed with his precious blood. And we are rooted and grounded in Christ. Rooted and grounded in Christ. Highly esteemed by the gardener. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, were rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, we are rooted and grounded in Christ, beloved, and in Him alone. In Him alone. Back to our text in Song of Solomon. In the garden are a variety of plants, but it's one garden. Now, we hit on this a little bit already. A garden enclosed is my sister. There's a variety of plants in the garden. The gardener goes to the nursery or wherever he wants to purchase the plants, and he chooses, and usually there's all different kinds of things in there, right? All different kinds of plants. And depending on what kind of garden it is, there'd be a variety of vegetables, or if it's a flower garden, a variety of flowers, or if it's a tree garden, a variety of different trees and things. But there's always a variety. No one buys the same thing and plants a whole big garden of just one kind. No, there's always a variety in it. And think of this in the Church of Christ. And turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the Church of Christ, no two people are the same. No two people are the same. We may be of the same race or of the same nationality, but each one of us is unique. Each one of us is unique and different. Each one of us in the body of Christ have different gifts, different things that you can do. And these gifts and operations are different in themselves, and they're bestowed upon different persons, yet they are all wrought by one Spirit, the Spirit of God, who is Jehovah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, and we'll look all the way to verse 12. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and same, that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as to his will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're one in Christ, beloved. We're different people and different personalities. I remember a dear brother who worshiped with us in Oregon, and he was an elderly gentleman. I've told you guys this story before. He said, Brother Wayne, and we were all standing around talking, and he said to all of us, he said, we probably never would, you guys aren't the kind of people I would have hung out or even been around. He said, but I love you all. I love you in Christ. And see, there's the bond. It's Christ. There it is there. We're all different people with different personalities. Different races, different, all different, but we're one in Christ. It's amazing. And so a garden is comprised of all different plants, but they're still one garden, right? They're one garden. The next point is this. A garden is under the eye and inspection of its owner and often visited by him. Often visited by him. The gardener visits his garden daily to inspect it, daily, and to watch over it. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go out with my dad in the morning, and actually not in the morning, he usually took off pretty early, but at night him and I would go out and walk around the garden, and usually in the morning with Mom we'd walk around the garden, but especially after dinner, Mom and Dad both went out, and I was just a little tyke, so off we go, we inspect the garden and look around and watch over it. And, you're looking for different things that are going on. You're seeing if there's any plants that the weeds are choking or anything like that, and if there's any disease on any of the leaves. That's what we used to do, and we just had a little backyard garden, but we did that all the time to make sure that everything was okay with the garden. And it was daily. And daily tending by a gardener allows him to care for his plants before any diseases can do any irreparable damage. The gardener, as I said, also prevents weeds from developing and taking deep root. Because what happens if you leave a weed? It takes deep root, doesn't it? And even more spring up. And the funny thing with weeds, they're like sin. They just come. You don't even have to plant them. They just grow. They just keep coming. So the gardener daily cares, daily inspects the garden, watches over it daily. So with the church of Christ. Turn, if you would, over to Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 2. And then we'll go back to verse 16 in chapter 4. The church speaks of our Lord to this effect. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 2. And then Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 16. Awake, O north wind. She invites Christ to come. Awake, O north wind, and come. Thou south, blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And then look at, it says, I am come unto my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my mirth with my spice. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. So the gardener daily visits his garden. And it's a benefit to the garden. It's a benefit to the garden. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20 says this, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us down with benefits. Daily. The Lord daily loads his people down with benefits. Daily. Even the God of our salvation, Selah, he that is our God, is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Daily. We don't always feel it, do we? But we're daily loaded down with benefits. What care this gardener has for his garden, eh? What care a human gardener has for his garden? But how much more our heavenly gardener, who watches over and protects. So the Lord not only gives us benefits, but he loads us with them. He loads us with them. And this is not only now, but it's daily. He daily loads us with them. He cares and watches over his sheep every single day. Do you know that nothing happens to you without him knowing? Nothing. Nothing. He watches over his sheep with that much care. Scripture says not even a sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing. This is a great God. And a great Savior. And he's the believer's God now and forever. Now and forever. And all the issues of life and death are with Him. And how blessed are those who put their trust in Him. Oh. Back to our text again. A garden requires much care and dressing and pruning and weeding. Much care. A garden must be regularly nourished, right? So it is with the Church of Christ. We must be watered and fertilized with the Word of God. We need it. It brings us hope and strength. It builds us up. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11 says this, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void." We've often said that. Yes, it will not. It feeds God's people. It nourishes God's people. It strengthens God's people. It points us to Christ. It will not return unto me void, no matter what. It will go forth in salvation or condemnation too. It will not return unto God void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Remember, the gardener can do whatever he wants. Hey, God can do whatever He pleases. People say, well, that's not fair. We've heard that so many times. God, this is God we're talking about. And He can do whatever He pleases to do. He holds the stars and the universe and everything in place. And people say that He can't move unless they let Him? That's no God. That's a figment of someone's imagination. But the God of the universe can do whatever He pleases, whenever He pleases. And no one can say to Him, "What are you doing?" No one. That's the God of the Bible. That's my Savior. That's my King. That's who my trust is in. And every believer, we all say amen, hey, because that's the truth. We are at His whim. That's why the publican cried out, "God, be merciful to me." He knew he couldn't do anything on his own. There's the Pharisee over there, right, though? Well, I thank God that I'm not like that publican over there. So full of self-righteousness. And there's that sinner who's a picture of us who believe, "God, be merciful to me. Oh, please, God, I beg you. Be merciful to me." Oh, and then he builds us up and he gives us strength. As we read His Word or we hear gospel messages, it builds us up. And the doctrine of the Bible drops like rain for us. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. The doctrines of the Bible, people say the doctrine's not important. Oh, it's refreshing. We find strength in the great doctrines of the Bible, redemption, justification, sanctification. There's such propitiation, there's such joy in these doctrines. They bring the believer such great comfort and strength. And they drop like rain. Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 to 4. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock," right? Christ is the rock, isn't He? And look what it says. Oh, there's comfort here for us as believers. His work is perfect. Perfect, beloved. Perfect. He wrought out a perfect salvation, a perfect robe of righteousness for His people. Perfect. Perfect. Nothing can be added to it. It's perfect. His work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, God is the God of all truth, beloved. All truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. He's just and holy. Oh, and in order for us to be in his presence, we must be made holy. We must be clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And by faith we are. Oh, he grants us faith and repentance, and we flee to Christ. And the believer is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's grace. That's grace. And he is so great. He's so full of grace. So full of grace. Now, a garden must also be weeded. As I said, weeds, they just grow. You don't have to plant those things. They just grow like crazy. And that's like sin in our lives, too. It just pops up everywhere, right? So it is with the church of God. The weeds of ungodliness and heresy must be excluded, must be torn out. 2 Thessalonians says this, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he had received us." We don't chase after false doctrine. If it doesn't say it in this book right here, we don't believe it. This is our final authority, right? If we look at what Scripture says. This is it, right here. God tells us that man is bound up in sin. Right? Can't make a decision all on his own. There goes free willism right out the window. No, man's dead. He can't choose. He must be made willing. Scripture declares that. He's made willing in the day of God's power. He gives us faith. It's a gift. It's given to us. He regenerates us. We can't regenerate ourselves. We're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. It's all his doing. So if a scripture or if a doctrine doesn't line up with the Word of God, out it goes. Out it goes. The last point is this. A garden will bring much satisfaction to the gardener. Much satisfaction to the gardener. Look at verse 16 of Song of Solomon, chapter 4. "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." A garden will bring much satisfaction to the gardener, and he'll rejoice in the fruits of his efforts. Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. "I came into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my spice with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drank my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." Robert Hawker says this, "So Jesus, for his own glory, gathers the fruits of his own Holy Spirit planted in the hearts of his redeemed well on earth. He gathers us at death and transplants his people into his garden above to flourish under the almighty hand in glory forever." Oh, what a picture we have, beloved, before us of Christ and his bride. The church is a garden enclosed, a garden enclosed. Spurgeon once said at the death of one of his deacon's wives, he was sitting in the garden with the deacon, and they were talking about his wife who had went home to be with the Lord. And Spurgeon brought out one of the most incredible illustrations that I think I've ever heard. And it's very simple. He said, "Brother, we're like flowers in a garden. We're like flowers in the garden. And the Lord saw one of the choice ones and cut it and took it home." And that's what he does when he takes a believer home. He takes the flower home to be with him. It's beautiful. So let the saints rejoice in him who cares for us as his garden. And let us live our lives for his glory and his honor and his praise. Brother John.